Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
PM team, and we are live. Primanti Brothers Moon Township, University Boulevard, Primanti Brothers World Tour. You come on out here, get a Primanti Brothers World Tour passport, get it stamped, go to three more of our broadcasts from different Primanti Brothers stores in the area, restaurants in the area. You'll have six more chances after today. You get it stamped at four of them when the PM team is in the house. You'll get entered for a chance to win a trip to Florida, which is pretty nice. I got to go down to spring training last year. Florida's fun. It's a good state. Especially when it's cold in other places. It's not cold in Florida. We go out to the hotline right now. Greg Brown is waiting, and he's brought to you by Xfinity, America's best internet service provider, according to speedtest.net. Brownie, I wish we were talking today under happier circumstances, but frankly, it's just gutting news to hear what we all heard or saw, and about an hour ago exactly, that in the course of his flexor tendon surgery, the surgeon attending to Jamison Tyone found that he needed Tommy John surgery for the second time. One of the good guys on that team, and that it's just a gut punch kind of day for, I think, the Pirates.
Well, I couldn't argue with you there, Chris. That's a gut punch, no question about it. And I can't imagine what Tyone's going through. I remember the Pirates had Daniel Hudson, a reliever, a couple years ago, and he was one of those guys that went through two Tommy Johns, and he talked about getting the news that he was going to have to undergo a second one and how he just laid on the bed and cried for 10 to 15 minutes and thought about, you know, just quitting. And obviously he came back, and interesting that he's having a pretty good season out of the bullpen right now. But the road ahead for Tyone, I just can't imagine what he's thinking right now. All the adversity he's gone through, and to have to go through this again and the rehab process, just to your point, it's a gut punch. No getting around it.
Brownie, for people that don't know, because I think Paul Zeiss and I talked about this, because Andrew's actually recovering from his own surgery right now. And so we talked about this. Paul's son, Elijah, when his time was at Pitt, had just won a starting job with Pitt football and then had to go through ankle rehab after his ankle got rolled up on and he had to have surgery. And he talked about how tough it is, the emotional component, the physical component. I think some fans think, all right, player gets common injury, player will rehab, torn ACL, whatever it is. They'll rehab, they'll come back. Can you give people, do you have extra insight just from being around the team more than the fans are, the nature of how grueling this rehab from this particular surgery actually is?
Well, you know, we don't see, because those guys go down to Florida. And for example, Chad Kuhl and Edgar Santana had Tommy John in September of last year, and they've come into the clubhouse a couple of times, and I've talked to these guys who've had the Tommy John in the process, and early on the devastating news, they go through the surgery, and then they're just a couple of days of coming to the realization of what lies in store. They've relied heavily, in fact, Santana and Kuhl relied heavily on Tyone to kind of guide them through their Tommy Johns. And now Tyone has, of course, having known and having been through that process, he'll have that to go on. But from what I've been told and what I've heard, to just be down in Florida and the loneliness factor, it helps to have another guy like Kuhl has had with Santana. But most times those guys are down in Florida in the hot, you just talked about Florida sunshine in the middle of summer. And going through that and just feeling like you're on an island by yourself, you're removed from the team. And I think that they have to use their inner competitiveness a lot as professional athletes, or as Paul's son would understand, just an athlete in general, successful athletes, relying on that component to drive them. And they do, and that's what makes them great athletes, is that inner drive that most mortals don't have, And I guess that helps. But still, to try and process this from Tyone's standpoint, I don't know how he's going to do it. He'll rely on his family, certainly. But I just can't imagine what that was. I mean, imagine going, you're going under surgery. You're going under, and you're probably told something like, hey, we're not sure. We think we're just going to repair the flexor. But we do have to prepare you for the possibility of a Tommy John. And so you go under anesthesia, and then you wake up in a hospital bed, and you see what, no doubt, I would imagine that the leg, because they take the tendon from the leg, and probably there's some pain there. And maybe you wake up, and maybe that's what you realize. And, of course, you see your arm, and you probably know, having done it the first time, that you just underwent Tommy John surgery. I can't imagine the devastation for Tyone.
Yeah, absolutely, Greg. It's just got to be one of those things where, you work so hard to come back from these things. It's a different sort of subject, but the same subject is, looking ahead now. They're obviously going to have to do some things for next year's rotation. They were already probably short pitching, right?
Paul, I talked about this last night on the radio side, not having gotten the news yet about Tyone, but knowing that he was or had undergone some type of surgery, and knowing that the Pirates were saying they were, not even thinking that way about Tommy John. And I said, even under the best-case scenario, if Tyone had just had the tendon situation taken care of, even under those circumstances, you were expecting Tyone maybe at best to come back sometime early next season, say. Best-case scenario, sometime in April, maybe. But even under that circumstance, the Pirates couldn't possibly rely on Tyone that heavily in 2020. So now he's out of the equation. I mean, they have to get some pitching somewhere, a starting pitcher somewhere, either via free agency or via trade for 2020, if they believe that they can compete and win. And I think they do. We saw enough of this offense. They still have a pretty darn good lineup all the way around. And you see what happens when that bullpen gets straightened out with Vasquez, when Rodriguez is going good, with Feliz the way he is now, with Kella, who comes off the suspension, I assume, today. You still have the components there of a pretty strong club. But, and that's a huge but, you have got to get some kind of starting pitcher in here for next year, in my opinion.
Well, that's sort of the catch-22, as I see it, Brownie, is they could sign somebody in free agency, but even mediocre starting pitching, I think, can be prohibitively expensive in the open market, which would leave trade as another option. And their best trade piece that could bring back maybe a very legitimate middle-of-the-rotation-type starter might be Starling Marte, and then it's the classic robbing Peter to pay Paul situation.
Well, it could be Marte, or it could be Felipe Vasquez. And I just got done saying how good he is when he's lights out, but he's a trade chip, and I still think that if they can somehow mend fences with Tyone Kella, this is a guy who is maybe, and of course we're talking about Vasquez being elite. He's up there with one or two others. So that aside, you've got many other top-notch, top-of-the-line closers who aren't completely lights out, but or close to that. And for me, Kella is that when he is healthy, and he's healthy again. And again, I think we'll probably see him tonight. So, but there's a trade chip there, or chips plural, that they have available to them, and it might mean a big roll of the dice. It might mean maybe the Dodgers blow it again this year, or other teams who have strong clubs but don't have that lights out closer. And if a team like the Dodgers does not win the World Series, then they go to a team like the Pirates and say, okay, what will it take? And maybe they then relent, and you get a strong starting pitcher and perhaps a catcher, something like that, to help the Pirates plug the holes that they need to plug for 2020. And so for that, I hate to see this with Tyone. Obviously, that's understood. But I am fascinated by this whole situation that the Pirates are now faced with in that you've got, again, you've got pieces, you've got a club there that can win. We saw, again, we've seen this, the stretch without Pyle, we saw the team win up to the All-Star break when, again, when everything was clicking. So it is there. And we saw it, to be honest with you, no disrespect to the Angels, but boy, we saw a really bad club the last two games. And the Pirates are not the Angels, thankfully.
Well, Greg, you know, I was going to ask you, they got a couple of wins under their belt after a really tough stretch. You're around those guys all the time. You're around the team all the time. What is your read? Is there still a lot of optimism, and do they still feel good about what's going on?
You know, Paul, it's hard to say that after two wins and all of a sudden they've been professional about it, even through the bad stretch after the All-Star break. And I've never been a guy that to be honest with you, is big on this clubhouse chemistry stuff. You know, when the team's winning, and this isn't any sport, we hear that a lot from people, fans, others, when they say, hey, it's a great clubhouse. The chemistry is great. That's why they're winning. I prefer a team actually to be miserable when they're losing. And I have, over the years, seen that. I've seen enough losing where I've seen both ends of it, where the team looks like it's just happy to be there, and teams act like, you know, we are miserable. It's a bad clubhouse because we're losing, and it's a happy clubhouse when you're winning. For me, that's just kind of the natural, that's nature, human nature, to have a club that is, again, miserable when you're losing and happy when you're winning, but at the same time, professional. And so I've seen kind of a professional attitude. But there were not a lot of happy people around losing 24, 28, whatever it was. They're in a better mood now because they won a couple games, because that's what they are. They're out there to win ball games. But they're not out of the woods yet, that's for sure.
Brownie, we appreciate it. Wish it was under happier circumstances. Thanks for the time, as always.
I agree with you guys. Thanks so much. Tough news, no question.
Greg Brown right there, his weekly visit. Jameson Taillon done for all of 2020. They went in to do the flexor tendon surgery, and it was worst-case scenario. The sum of all fears for Taillon and the Pirates found that he needed Tommy John for a second time. I'll give you a little – there's a piece in the Washington Post from a couple of years ago about pitchers that have to get a second Tommy John surgery. If you are looking for good news, I don't have it for you coming up next. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. And follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Shorty Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, locations North Huntington and the North Hills. We're talking Jameson Taillon. His 2019 we already knew was over. Now we find out 2020 done as well. It's the PM team. PM team right now. Time is 5:30. Like literally 5:30 right now. Time brought to you by Goodrich and Geist. Pirates have seized the day's headlines, and not for good reasons. They finally win two games in a row. I mean, it's almost sadly fitting, Paul. Paul Zeiss in for Andrew Filipponi and the PM team. We're at the Primanti Brothers for the Primanti Brothers World Tour in Moon Township on University Boulevard. Come out, you get your passport, you get it stamped, then you get it stamped three more times at three different Primanti Brothers. You get entered to win a chance to win a trip to Florida. And it's almost like a sad joke. The Pirates win two in a row for the first time since July 7th, and then they get the worst possible news about one of their most important pieces, they thought, for next year. Jameson Taillon's flexor tendon surgery turns into that and a Tommy John surgery. He's done for 2020. And I'm left with a couple main thoughts. One is what you said, and that's that this team really bungled this in terms of dragging it out to the extent and for the amount of time that they did. I think they could have done this earlier. I have to believe they could have done it earlier. And two, it just feels like next year, I'm not even saying it to try to pile on, because the Pirates diehards in the audience always accuse people like us of piling on. Neil Huntington said, it's the media. When you don't win as much as the media expects you to and fans, then they're going to call for people's heads. No. It's just a fact when I say, I don't think you have nearly enough for next year, just rebuild. And in the process of rebuilding, don't let the current administration do it. Blow it all up. I think that's the only way for them.
Well, again, if they're going to rebuild, then you're right. It has to be a new administration that is charged with it. Just for fun.
Yeah.
Chris?
Oh, this, yes.
Just for fun.
Fun times, giggles, woo.
I'm going to make you Bob Nutting and Neil Huntington.
All right, it kicks ass first of all to be a billionaire.
Okay, you're Bob Nutting and Neil Huntington together, and money is not going to be an object.
Okay.
From this list of free agent pitchers, Strasburg, Arrieta, Hamels, Keuchel, Darvish, Porcello, Ryu, Hill, Cole, Rourke, Wood.
Money's not an object?
Yeah.
How many of them do I need to sign?
Two.
Cole. And I'm going to bring all of the Astros pitching coaches and staff with me. And you know what? I'll take give me Strasburg, too.
Yeah, that would help.
That would help.
That would CC Sabathia.
The better chance is, and we all know this.
Matt, how about Bumgarner?
He'd be fun to have. The better chance is find me, and this is a much tougher thing. This is something you do in your own research time, right? Find a couple pitchers who have maybe an okay track record, but who have definitively fallen on like a rough patch in their career, are thought of as, hey, there's something wrong. He's not injured. His arm is healthy, but he's just not getting the results. Find me your buy low, your low risk, low cost, moderate to potentially high moderate reward pitchers, and that's where you'll find the Pirates' activity.
I was going to give you a name for that. Looking at this list,
Tanner Roark,
Michael Walker. He's had some arm injuries and things of the such, but that is the kind of pitcher, that is the kind of guy they love to go get, isn't it?
Michael, I forgot. I knew he was bad this year. He had what I would call five good seasons in a row for St. Louis to start his career, including 2013 when he shoved it against the Pirates in Game 4 of that divisional series when they had a chance to actually put the Cardinals away. He went from – so Tyone has the Tommy John, 133 innings to 191. Waka jumped from 107 in 2014 to 181 the following year, and then the decline of Michael Waka started pretty clearly. Last year he wasn't bad, but he only started 15 games. This year he has cratered. So, yes, arm problems in his history, but you're exactly right, honest to God, man. You are exactly right that he is the basic template for what they'd be looking for. A player who actually has a winning record this year, but if you're looking at any objective number, has been a very bad pitcher.
Yeah, and he hasn't been very good, and they're talking about the fact
giving up a ton of home runs.
They're not sure what's going on with him and this and that. That's the kind of guy they go get.
And you know what? They'll say, hey, it's Michael Waka, and they'll rely on, just like they sort of did for Liriano, maybe for Burnett, people remembering, oh, yeah, that guy was really good against the Pirates. It's the old theory of go get Omedo signs as your catcher because he used to torture the Pirates at PNC Park. No, it's going to be this is why, again, I go back to this, Paul. You're naming Waka, and everyone has to squint to try to see if they could somehow figure out a way, and the goal would be to get 2013 Michael Waka out of him, which just might not be a version that exists anymore. This is why I say fire the president, fire the GM, fire the manager, fire everybody that works under them, and start with a completely new regime. It is a ripping off of the Band-Aid, but I think it's at least honest. Because otherwise what you get into is the danger of Neil Huntington feeling like he's got a wheel and deal to make this team competitive and potentially gut the farm system in the process. That's where you get trades like the Matt Morris deal that Dave Littlefield pulled.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the biggest thing to me, too, is if you bring in a different management group, the philosophy of the organization probably changes, and maybe you go out and look for different types of players.
You know what they should do? You know what Bob Nutting should do? You said I'm Bob Nutting and Neil Huntington, and I have the cost is no object for signing free agent pitchers. How about this? Just make me Bob Nutting right now for this, for the purposes of this discussion. I am going, I'm saying, at the end of the season. No, I'm not even waiting until the end of the season, frankly. I'm doing this right now. Like, I'm acting quickly like they should have probably done with the Tyone injury. I'm firing Frank Coonley, Neil Huntington, everybody. Or I'm letting Frank Coonley maybe finish negotiating a television deal or whatever, only if he looks like he's on the right track. I'm firing everybody. I am spending money. It'll be less than you would have to spend to get free agents, and I am trying to gut the Astros front office for all of their brightest young minds. Whoever the people are who are looking for a promotion, right, like Neil Huntington was from his time with the Indians when you got him, I am trying to find all the people associated with the Astros, all these other teams, these bigger market teams who haven't ascended to a bigger job yet, and I am trying to bring them along and say, come to the Pirates. It's going to be a step up. It's going to be a raise, and build me a franchise again. That's what I'm doing. How do you like them apples?
Well, again, I'm not just the Astros. How about whoever
Dodgers,
it is,
yeah, Red Sox, Rays.
Whoever it is that is running the Dodgers drafts, I would.
Well, that person, but okay, but that person's not going to come and work for the Pirates. Whoever is the assistant to the person running the Dodgers draft.
Yeah, whatever. You go and you get somebody from that organization. You go and get somebody who is on the pitching staff or on the pitching payroll for the Astros, mm-hmm. and you go get one more guy from the Yankees, and you bring those three guys together, and you say, what do we need to do to get better?
And they all laugh a little bit, like, nervously to each other, and you say, you're hired.
Right. Well, I'm saying you've already hired them. You've already hired them.
Well, then they say, you need to get with the times. And the one thing they're going to say is, we'd like to spend more competitively when the time comes, and that's always going to be the elephant in the room, per se. But I think they say the game is a home run game, the game is a strikeout game, and that is what we are both going to tailor the pitching staff to and the lineup to. And that's what we're going to do. And we're going to – there's a certain way we want to teach. We want our minor league people to teach. There's a certain kind of player we're looking for, and that's what we're going with. Anything that resembles a defined, hard and fast, cut and dried plan, that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, but they need to have a plan that they can sell. And any plan that is a rebuild that doesn't include what you're talking about, reshuffling and redoing the entire front
office.
It's
all deck chairs on the Titanic at that point.
You're not just that, you're not selling it to your fans. You're not selling to your fans, we've got another 2 or 3 year rebuild coming, but the same guys are going to be in charge doing it. You're not selling that to your fans.
I'd agree with that completely. Coming up, some last wraps from us on this subject. Jameson Taillon, it feels just like a watershed moment in his career and right now for this version of the Pirates. Jameson Taillon ended up having to get Tommy John surgery. He's done for all of 2020. What's at Stakes brought to you by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, the perfect steak every time. And as we wrap up the formal portion of the PM team today, Paul Zeiss pinch hitting for the recovering Andrew Filippone, recovering from surgery. Surgery is also a word on our mind because Jameson Taillon's flexor tendon surgery turned into that plus a Tommy John, and now what's at stake for the Pirates, I think, is this, Paul. Are you willing as an organization, and this starts with Bob Nutting, yes, but it's also Neil Huntington, Frank Coonerly, and Neil Huntington has no reason to do this because if he goes and says, hey, you know, Bob, the team, the franchise right now is not in a shape to contend, Bob Nutting's probably going to fire him. But if you're Bob Nutting, are you willing to take a hard look? What's at stake is you taking a hard look at really where this franchise is now that you know that Jameson Taillon's not coming back till 2021 and deciding, is it time to just rebuild? Is it time to gut my front office? Everybody's been around for a while now. They've done pretty well, relatively speaking, but they've gotten a little stale, and I'm going to cut bait with this. That's the question.
I don't even think you need to do all that. I would just say, start at the top, you know, with the top two, and they're going to obviously do the house cleaning that needs to be done. They'll bring their own people in. So I would say
– Huntington and Coonerly?
Yeah. I'm saying –
they should be fired too.
But that's what I'm saying. I think if you start there – here's my thing. If you fire Neil Huntington, if you're Bob Nutting and you fire Neil Huntington, you are saying that we need to go in a completely different direction, and you're going to go hire somebody – who you're obviously going to give autonomy to come in and bring in his own people and change things and do the things he does.
Correct.
So, to me, if you're Nutting, that's one of those two is where you start.
Right.
And I think at that point, they'll come in and take care of what else needs to be taken care of. But
that's
we're
fine.
Saying the same thing. I'm just saying, like, I think you need to have someone come in that's a fresh set of eyes that takes a look at everything else.
Well, that doesn't have any preconceived notion. Like, the problem with – here's why if you rebuild, which is what I want, you can't let Neil Huntington do it. There is no way that he looks at the state of affairs here and can actually – no person in his position can look at that and say, I screwed all this up. On one level or another, this is my doing.
Right.
Even if it's people I entrusted to do certain jobs screwing it up. So now I'm going to fix it. You're right about fresh eyes. It has to be somebody who has no emotional investment or attachment to anything that is here right now, other than that person has to have an investment in Brian Reynolds, I would say, right? And whoever else you think, and there aren't many of them, are guys that need to be bolted down for a rebuild.
And I'm going to say this, and one of the great failings, I think, of this front office, whatever you want to say, their inability, because of emotional attachments and things of the such, to honestly self-evaluate and self-scout their teams, their players. Because
here's
I think
where we fall short. Here's where we're deficient.
And not just that. Whenever, how many times have we heard Neil Huntington basically say, what's available out there is not a terrible upgrade, or not really that much of an upgrade over what we have, or we feel good about this, or we like our
we like where you, we are, et
you
cetera.
Have
this is
to
a
be able to
team.
Look
yeah.
at your players
yep.
and say, this guy that's on the market right now is better than the guy I have.
And when you actually believe that, it better not be Chris Archer. You know what I mean? When you think that the guy on the market is better than the guys you have, the guy you're getting for that to serve that purpose, better had not be Chris Archer with Austin Meadows, Tyler Glasnow, and Shane Byles going the other way. You're right. You're right. But I don't think there's a lot of honest self-reflection, self-evaluation, introspective sort of thought. I think Neil Huntington, his biggest sin, and it's a guy that I think has done a pretty good job, is that he fell in love with his way of doing things and never really adjusted it. He decided, okay, throwing two seamers, defensive shifting, I'm ahead of the curve and I'll stay there. The curve caught up with him and passed him again, and the Pirates have done largely nothing to stay in pace. And people say, oh, well, if everyone goes and hits home runs and goes for strikeouts, it's tough to teach. That gets real expensive real quick. Not necessarily. You can redo swings. Cody Bellinger might be the NL's MVP. You know how many home runs he hit his senior year of high school? One.
Right, right.
He didn't hit. And then they drafted him in the fourth round and completely overhauled his swing to uppercut, basically. And now look at him. He's a monster.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, I think that's the key. You can do that. The other thing is you're talking about a rebuild, right?
Yep.
Which means you bring in players that already have that swing or that have those – you know what I'm saying?
Well, that's an expensive rebuild.
Right.
And I have to bring that up here. I have to say
that. But my point is, if you're going to rebuild, you're going to start changing the philosophy and who you draft, the kind of players you draft.
Everything.
All of that stuff.
Everything. It should be. It's not working. What they've done has not worked. By the way, that's What's at Stake, brought to you by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, the perfect steak every time. At the top of the hour, Alejandro Villanueva, a guy with a lot of perspective on a lot of things beyond sports, spoke today at length, actually, at Steelers camp. And Jeff Hathorn, who's out there, strongly recommended we take a listen because he said it was some pretty powerful and eloquent words from Villanueva. We're going to do that at the top of the hour. And then Paul has a little pet topic he wanted to bring up. He said it to me before the show, and as soon as he got, 30 seconds into giving his take on it, I said, stop, save it for the air. So we're going to do that as well because we're going to PM team overtime into what would actually be Paul's show till 6:40 till Pirates pregame here on The Fan. Greg Brown starting off. Well, hold on for a second. We got fan weather for you. It's brought to you by Sun Chevy and McMurray. Join Sun Chevy for their all-star open house all month long and open the door to a new Sun Chevy. 64 your low, 80 your high tomorrow with a chance of a shower or a thunderstorm. I've got your Greg Brown starting lineup for you right now, and it's brought to you by Great Tasting, Less Filling Miller Lite.
Kevin Newman, Brian Reynolds, Marte Parte, ring your bell, number 55,
the Milkman,
Elias Diaz, Colin Moran, don't you know, Jacob Stallings, Adam Frazier, Chris Archer.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.